You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
What up, action junkies? This is SportsbookWire.com's Jeff Clark. I got my colleague Eston McLaren on the line with me. This is our Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're recording this episode Tuesday night, September 22nd, during Lakers-Nuggets Game 3. All of our lines are provided by BetMGM Sportsbook, so all of our listeners out in Colorado, Indiana, Nevada, New Jersey, and West Virginia, be sure to check out the BetMGM Sportsbook betting app and the website that's operational in those states. And they have a whole bunch of cool offers and promotional codes to get you onboarded with a little bit of bonus. Let me bring in my homie, my co-host, Eston. Eston, how we living, buddy?
Jeff, good. We're doing well. We're 2 weeks into NFL season and, you know, just living the dream so far. It can really only go downhill from here. And you know what? It surely will.
Why do you say that? You should be more optimistic. You're beating me in our little season-long NFL betting thing.
I know. I'm bad. That may stay on top. I feel confident there. But just overall, I think for both of us, well, at least for me, it's probably a little out over my skis, a little over my head maybe. And just hoping to keep it going. And no, fingers crossed.
I hear you. Week two was just an absolute nightmare for me. So it can only get better, actually. Looking forward to getting into week three. I was, just to bring the listeners up to speed real quick, and we'll dip back into this. Me and Eston are doing just a season-long tracker of likes that we have throughout these weekly handicaps, the NFL slates. And if we go head-to-head, we'll track it and report the results in the next podcast or throughout the season. So right now he's up on me 5-3. I had a chance to tie it on Monday Night Football. I took the Saints at -5.5, I believe, and he took the Las Vegas Raiders in their home opener. And we all saw how that turned out. And I was pretty butthurt, if I'm going to be honest, for a couple hours last night after the game. But I calmed down. I checked out the week three lines, and I got pretty excited. I think I got a good handle of this card, so I'm excited to talk about it.
I think there's going to be a few spots where we definitely disagree, and I'm looking forward to that. We'll see if maybe you've flip-flopped a little bit after the first 2 weeks, a few of the teams you've been on so far. Maybe you've learned your lesson and are willing to switch sides, but if not, hey, I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to cash in on my mistakes, you sneaky, sneaky mofo, Eston. I don't hate it, though. Well, let's go over to Scopin' Futures real quick.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Scopin' Futures.
Do you have any Stanley Cup Finals thoughts? Right now we got Dallas, Tampa Bay tied 1-1. Game 3's tomorrow on Wednesday. What are you thinking?
I'm still holding on to my Tampa Bay Lightning futures ticket, and I feel pretty good there. The series line has flipped both games, actually. The Lightning came in as a pretty heavy favorite to win the series and therefore the Stanley Cup. They lost game one, so the Stars instantly became series favorites. Lightning won game two, so they're back on top, and I think they'll take game three and, you know, probably ends in six games. I think that's the betting favorite right now anyway, and probably see it that, yeah.
Yeah, as I'm sure most listeners know, hockey's a bit of a weakness for me when it comes to handicapping. Based on just skimming through hockeyreference.com and, like, what is it, leftwingoclock.com, just, like, clicking through, I always, for whatever reason, thought Dallas was undervalued. I kind of wanted to take them to bet to go against going against Vegas, but I didn't. And it was really just like clicking around. I really don't even I think Ben Bishop's our goalie, right?
He was in the regular season. He's been out most of the playoffs. It's been Anton Khudobin. He has been
lights out, right?
Unbelievable, out of his mind. Upcoming free agent, he's really going to cash in.
You might know this, but they're on like the bottom five of total goals scored per game, right? Like they have a pretty good defense.
Yeah, super defensive system and very opportunistic offense. They have plenty of skill up top. They just play that defensive style and leave it up to the skill guys to score whenever they can, which is more than often enough.
Yeah, based on the very little I know, I thought that the Stars were a live dog in that, but I'm not going to waste too much time on that because I don't know a ton about hockey. In terms of the NBA Conference Finals, like I said, we're recording in the middle of Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. LA leads 2-0. Anthony Davis hit that buzzer beater at the end of Game 2 to win 105-103. I'm pretty much done betting that series, or really betting against the Nuggets, because they have more than 9 lives, and their resilience is just absurd. So, I don't know. You would think that gut punch that they took at the end of Game 2 would be enough, but they came back from 3-1 twice in a row. So, who knows? I think they're kind of a live dog, especially game to game.
Yeah, it's really a crazy run how they've advanced this far, and yeah, you nailed it on the head. You don't want to bet against them even. Like, it's a good story. It's a fun story. And it's, you don't really want to be on the wrong side of that if they keep it going in that same style. And now it's certainly not going to be a 4-game sweep, or I don't believe it's going to be a 4-game sweep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they get their first one here, and we know they can come back from 3-1. So, yeah.
And since this is scope and futures, I really don't have any specific futures tickets to talk about. I've played series throughout the playoffs, but and I'm thinking about taking Miami to win it all. But I have no action right now. I just wanted to lightly touch on these series. Boston-Miami, Game 3 is Wednesday. Excuse me, Game 4 is Wednesday. Miami leads 2-1 heading into that one. The Celtics got Gordon Hayward back, which proved to be pretty pivotal. They needed his depth, and he looked all right. So I think that's going to be a good series. Everyone anticipated that one going down to the wire. Now that Celtics are full health, I'm excited to see how that one ends. Do you have any like thoughts about the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, rooting against the Celtics. Let's go Heat, and then, yeah, either Lakers or Nuggets, I think a West team's going to win it either way, whoever wins that series. So
I live in L.A., so I have a whole bunch of like Laker fans that are kind of, in a weird way, rooting for Boston so they can beat Boston in the finals, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's, I don't know, that's one of the bigger rivalries in sports, actually. But it's something that kind of went over my head until I lived in L.A. specifically. You would think NBA would do some home cooking, and it'd be easier for them to do that if there were, you know, they were traveling from Boston to Miami and stuff like that, because that would probably be what's best for the NBA, a Boston Lakers finals, even though this Miami team is so much fun to watch. But yeah, they're still a slight favorite. I don't think it's terrible to bet them right now, but I'm laying off it. But moving along here and scoping futures, what we're going to do today is we're going to circle back on our NFL preseason bets and predictions that we made during the NFL Extravaganza podcast before the start of the season. I'm going to pick a future that each of us gave out. One future that looks bright and the other one that doesn't look so bright that we can clown on. I'll start. I'll let you pick. Do you want good news or bad news first?
Let's do good news. Keep people listening a little while longer before they get their reasons to stop.
Well, if you have anything that I didn't mention that I should up top, then go ahead and correct me or jump in. But what I got for your sunny future right now is the Titans at +165 to win the AFC South. It's currently going off at -125. They were the second favorite to win the division, I believe, behind the Colts. And right now they're 2-0, and I wouldn't say, we'll talk about this in a little while, I wouldn't say their two victories are impressive, but that doesn't matter in a small sample size season. So good stuff. You're looking good so far, man.
Right, and they're in an AFC South where, you know, they don't have to have all that many impressive victories, and they can still just beat up on that division and finish the top. And, you know, maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars are a little better than everyone thought, but I think they should be able to take care of the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. The one other sunny future I have, I suppose, Arizona Cardinals plus 260 to be a wild card team in the NFC. That one's looking pretty good. They're 2-0. The Seattle Seahawks, obviously 2-0 as well. So probably going to finish second in that division, and we'll see if they get that wild card spot.
That is very presumptive of you. The LA Rams, are you ready to eat crow on the LA Rams? Because I talked a lot of shit about the LA Rams preseason. They look good. I can't lie.
You have more crow to eat than me. You went a little bit harder against them.
You just ruled them out. You just relegated them to third, guaranteed.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're exceeding my preseason expectations for them, for sure. I mean, Jared Goff, I guess he's staying out of his own way, is maybe all you need to say about him. The defense has been good. You can't criticize them for who they played, but they played a Dallas Cowboys team that kind of fell flat in season opener, and then they played a Philadelphia Eagles team. We're going to get into them in a little bit, but yeah, I don't know how impressive that victory was.
Well, again, it's same type of idea with your Titans, you know, 2-0, especially on the road in Philly. 2-0, I mean, it's hard to complain about that. You know, they did what they needed to do to get out of Dallas with a win, and they just absolutely trampled Philly. Philly betters, which I was one, they gave you a little bit of excitement in the second quarter, but that quickly vanished, and the Rams just pretty much kicked their head underwater. It was an impressive win, I guess is what I'm saying. My one sunny future, I have a couple that I like, but the one that looks the best, and it's only 2 weeks in, all this stuff can change, right? I got Russell Wilson to win the MVP at plus 600. His odds now are currently at plus 350. What has he thrown? 9 touchdown passes in 2 games, 1 interception. I know he's had 17 incompletions and 9 touchdown passes in 2 games. He even spotted the Patriots points in Greg Olsen spotted him points with that tip ball right off his hands that went into, I think, Jonathan Joseph's hands for an easy pick 6. But he's been absolutely spectacular. And just a quick rant that I want to get off my chest real quick, Aston. So if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind?
We're a rant show.
All right, cool. So every football writer, every football podcaster, anyone whose opinion has been published to the internet in regards to the NFL has had some sort of version of the hashtag let Russ cook, right? That's all anyone's been saying, let Russ cook. So I had a few friends that actually hit me up complaining, also Seahawks bettors, as I was on Sunday, complaining about that 3rd-and-1 call of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, where they went deep down the field, didn't convert it, and ended up having to punt the ball back to the Patriots, I believe inside the 2-minute warning. And a lot of the same people, I also, you know, skimmed the interwebs and saw on Twitter and Facebook people complaining and calling it an egregious call. But I felt like this is exactly what everyone was asking for the whole offseason. Like, this is the manifestation of let Russ cook. You know, in his Hall of Fame highlight tape, they're going to show those crazy arc and throws that he calls the dropping it in the bucket. That's going to bring him to the Hall of Fame, right? I didn't see Pete Carroll with a gun to his head out there. I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think he could have called the timeout. He could have checked out into a run. He could have thrown a check down. Russell Wilson, you know, he's a bad, bad, bad man. And he probably thought, you know what? I make this look easy. This is easy for me. I'm going to walk off here. I'm going to convert this 3rd-and-1 40 yards down the field, and this game's over. And it's hard it's hard to argue with that based on what we've seen. And it's crazy for me to read the same people that were whining all summer, let Russ cook. And now it's like, well, we gotta run that ball. Like, oh, really? Now you want to run the ball? Guy puts up 35 points, 5 touchdowns. You want him to run it on 3rd and 1. Okay. All right, NFL Twitter. Thanks, guys. Good stuff.
Wait, all those same people were clamoring for the goal line run in the Super Bowl, right? So, yeah, I let Russ cook sometimes, I guess, is what the hashtag should be. Maybe it's too many characters. Tough to get it trending.
Well, I mean, I was a better, right? And I'm on the Seahawks that night. And, you know, I mean, like, the Madden player in me was like, oh, man, you can – come on, Chris Carson's getting a yard here. Just get a yard. Get these. This game's over, right? That's probably what I would have done. But I'm not going to the Hall of Fame for my throws, right? I'm not going to the Hall of Fame for my coaching, like Pete Carroll probably is. Honestly, as that happened, I nod and shake my head. I was like, if that's how we lose, that's fine. I want Russell Wilson throwing the ball. That's what I you never heard me say let Russ cook. I think that they should be more aggressive with Russell Wilson, but I agree with how they built their roster. But it's just funny reading from the same people whining, podcast in, podcast out, let Russ cook, and then flipping it this week. You got to run it. 3rd and 1, 2 timeout, you got to run it. Okay, buddy, or whatever. Yeah, buddy, yeah. Homie.
Yeah, buddy boy is a good one. Yeah
I don't want to generalize, but there's some quality female NFL reporters that are talking shit on this one too. So they gotta hear it, and I'm sending these shots to you too.
But yeah, you get what you ask for, and you gotta live with the results when that's what the result is. I guess I don't know.
So dark futures, we gotta go to the bad stuff here.
Yep.
Eston, actually, we'll start off with me first, since we did you first last time with the bright stuff, the bright future, sunny future. I got Texans plus 325 to win the AFC South. Now they're at plus 600. I don't want to overreact after 2 weeks. And just let me make my point. And I know, you know, you're probably going to crap on the Texans. Everyone else is. I understand. A couple years ago, when I was living in Redondo Beach, my apartment manager went to high school with a practice squad offensive tackle on the New York Giants. I'm slipping his name. I should have written it down. But he was making his first start in week 3 against the Houston Texans. And he had to block J.J. Watt, right? That was an 0-2 Texans team. That was the year after Deshaun Watson tore his knee. I believe they lost the Patriots in week 1. I want to say maybe they lost to a not-so-good team, I think, in week 2. Week 3, first home game, Houston Texans playing the Eli Manning Giants. If you know this, you remember, Eli Manning Giants were just absolutely terrible. Giants are still terrible for the past, like, 5 years. So they were bad that year. It was a bad Giants team. I don't remember the exact record. I don't know, 5-11, 4-12, 3-13. We're bad. We're bad, whatever. We ended up beating them outright in Houston to send them to 0-3. I remember watching it with my apartment building manager, and his buddy was getting cooked. J.J. Watt had 3 sacks, and they still lost to the just terrible, terrible Giants team. I think they ended up winning 9 games straight that year, winning the division. And everyone after week 3 was, I almost said rightfully, but they were calling for Bill O'Brien's job, as they're kind of doing now, right? So, you know, to bridge it into this season, and I said this to you before we started recording, I don't, like, as someone who bet the Houston Texans, I had a very, 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 very strong feeling they were going to go 0-2. And I still made the bet. Why I do actually feel stupid is because I thought they were going to go 0-2, and I should have just waited until now. They're plus 600. Like, that was pretty dumb. I wish someone messaged me before I made that bet and was like, yo, bro, think of it like this. But I missed on that. Either way, I'm not willing to rip up the ticket. I mean, the Colts lost a pitiful game, I think, to the Jaguars. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll talk about all these teams. Jaguars look frisky, right? But, you know, they beat a sketchy new Colts team or the new quarterback. Titans have looked a little shaky in their 2-0 start, but whatever. I agree with the Texans' price. I'm not ripping up the ticket right now, but it does look bad. It is a dark future. Do you have any other thoughts about that before we go to yours?
No, you're just dead right. They happen to get their two toughest games of the year out of the way in the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, I will side with you in that you should have held off 2 weeks in. But, yeah, the everything else about your analysis coming into the season can still be right.
Yeah, I do feel dumb.
We disagreed on them before the season. I really question. And the thing with calling for Bill O'Brien's job is now he has two jobs to lose, not just the one. Yeah. And that's sort of something he put on himself, I guess. And but on the positive note for you, the two toughest games are behind him, and he's got, you know, six pretty easy division games ahead of him.
Yeah, and he's got a super easy road game against Pittsburgh Steelers this week, which I'm sure they'll have no problem winning. I mean, they're a 4-point time. They're screwed, and I'm going to be looking at an 0-3 ticket. And again, I'm going to be kicking myself. I might just, I might just rebet the future next week.
Yeah, you'll also be looking at +7,000 or +8,000 odds. That'll be the worst part for you.
Funny that you mentioned that. Speaking of which, your dark future, the Atlanta Falcons. You took them at +5,000, a flyer on them, +5,000 to win the Super Bowl. They're up to +8,000 now that they fell to 0-2. And we're going to be covering all the week three games, so we'll talk about the Falcons a little bit more here in a few minutes. But what are you thinking about that ticket at this moment?
You may have not ripped up your Houston Texans ticket. My Atlanta Falcons ticket is long gone. That's ripped up, and it was taken out in the trash last week.
Flushed.
We'll never see that one again.
Okay. Bummer. All right, well, we don't have to harp on it. Do you a few other, I guess – well, I mean, we're only through 2 weeks, but like week two or heading into week three superlatives. So I got two things that I have an answer for, and I think you do too. Most fraudulent 2-0 team. Were you able to jot this down today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, what do you? I mean, we'll breeze through it so we can get. We got a full 16 game slate to cover here, and we're gonna have to speed through it. Yeah, so what do you got? What do you got in these?
Buffalo Bills. And, you know, I was on them the start of the year to win the AFC East. And, you know, they're atop the AFC East right now. But those are two – they're not blowing me away. The Jets win, yeah, sure, that was fine. But – and they struggled against the Dolphins. And, you know, everyone raving about how much better Josh Allen looks – you know, he still made mistakes against two pretty bad football teams. I'm not here to crown Josh Allen 2 weeks into the season. And, you know, if you're not willing to commend the quarterback of a 2-0 team, that means the 2-0 team may be a bit of a fraud.
Fair enough. I have some glass half full stuff on Josh Allen we'll talk about when we get to the Rams Bills handicap. But I hear you. I think you're being a little pessimistic, but I mean, it's a tough one because week two is so random and we have to pick out a fraud here somehow. I'm just staying away from the NFC West. I have the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. I was down on the Rams, but they've made believers out of me in terms of like legitimacy of a playoff run. Shit, even an NFC West run, I mean, they've done it before. I can't completely rule them out. You were much bigger on the Cardinals than I was. I more or less was kind of like on the fence about them. Not anymore. I'm not betting against that team for a while now.
That offense is unbelievable, and that defense needs to be getting a whole lot more credit as well.
It's early. They played Washington. Who's their week one opponent again?
49ers. NFC champs.
Yeah. They have cluster injuries, and George Kittle went down the second half. But what am I? I'm not NFC champs, like you said. Okay, I'm copping out here. My most fraudulent 2-0 team is the Chicago Bears. They should have definitely won the or lost the week one game against the Detroit Lions. DeAndre Swift had the ball hit him in the chest, which would have been a go-ahead touchdown with under a minute left. The Giants got down to the 10-yard line without Saquon Barkley, without Sterling Shepard. We're down 17-0 at one point in that game. Scored 13 unanswered. Had a chance to win the game. I didn't really believe they were going to win the game, but either way, I mean, I feel like most people would agree with the idea of if you're taking the Bears right now, you're kind of plugging your nose and hoping. And I don't know. I like your reasoning for the Bills. I do. It's great, but I feel good about the Bears being full of shit too.
Yeah. We disagreed on the Bears a little bit before the show, and I don't necessarily think they're a fraud. I'm not willing to bet them at suppressed odds. However, if I had a futures ticket on them coming into the season, I'm feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not a live bet for me at this point until maybe if they lose week three to the Atlanta Falcons, which they will not.
All right.
Then maybe I would get some live action, but yeah, 2-0 with that number fallen by the week, it's not going to be a live ad for me at this point.
Yeah, and you know, kind of to your point of, or at least your pushback of them not being the most fraudulent team, they have won the division with the same coaching staff and quarterback and defense. So,
you know, the entire roster is different, but you want to talk about organizations staying the same, just in a general sense. Chicago Bears made it to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman at quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky can be better than him, I suppose.
Yeah, no, this is like a decade thing for Chicago. They always have a shitty quarterback and a good defense. That's the Chicago Bears I grew up knowing and loving. Well, I didn't love them, but I appreciate their commitment to strong defense and always having a weak quarterback. Let's move over to the livest 0-2 teams. What do you think?
It's a tough one. I'm going to cheat a little bit here and go with a 1-1 team with 0-2 team odds. Can I do that?
Yeah, I think you can. Why not?
There's no 0-2 teams that are any good. Maybe the Falcons. The Falcons stink. Eagles stink.
Do it.
No, the Jaguars. I can't do the Jaguars. No, I'm writing off all these 0-2 teams.
There's no one you think is frisky or that could come from 0-2 down and make even a division run. Because I'll jump right in. I got it. I got mine queued up.
Yeah, the Eagles, I suppose, can take that division. That division's trash. That's okay. Doing anything saving them. The Falcons could take their division if they didn't have two superstar teams in it.
Okay.
Falcons could take the NFC East right now.
don't you dare. You know my Giants are over there. Okay. So my livest 0-2 team is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, let's start with their first two losses. Week one, Seahawks. They're my pick to win the Super Bowl. I'm as high as you can be, obviously, about the Seahawks. Granted, you know, it's a home opener, but you don't have the home crowd there. So I don't fault them that much for losing that one. You know, the Falcons have been in the Super Bowl. Every loss to the veteran staff and roster should be a bummer. So there is no moral victories for this team, but I don't think that's so bad. No. Week two, it was an ugly loss, right? We'll discuss it more in a couple minutes. You know, but a lot of people, including you, liked the Cowboys. You took them to win the one seed in our NFL extravaganza episode. And I think most importantly, their division's awful, right? I didn't have this as a take going into it, but Drew Brees is as washed as Tom Brady. It looks like that through 2 weeks. I mean, these guys are looking shaky out the gate, and if you would think anyone would not look shaky, it would be a 40-something-year-old Drew Brees and a 40-something-year-old Tom Brady. I mean, Drew Brees has been with the system for, I don't know, a decade plus now. Tom Brady, new system, but either way, like, I don't have a lot of faith in them being that good, that much better than the Falcons. Panthers, enough said. You know, whatever. Panthers are bad. Go figure. Christian McCaffrey's
in. Wow, a short Carolina Panthers take from you. Never thought we'd get there.
I mean, they just lost Christian McCaffrey. They were projected to have 5.5 wins. I thought they'd go over. I feel wrong about that right now. They might even get to 6, but they're not. They're not like contenders for anything, so it doesn't even matter, right? They're not. They're a non-factor. I think Falcons are a live dog, and they're going to show up. I'm probably going to take them to the window. Are we done here? Let's get over week 3. What do you say?
Yeah, we got 16 games to get through. Let's start it.
Yeah, well, kind of lightning round it, I guess.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM Buggin'.
Thursday Night Football. Yeah. Miami Dolphins are going to staying in state, playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are favored by 3. The over-under is at 47.5. Do you lean, like, or love any of these teams here?
I like the Jaguars. Favored by 3, yeah. Give me Jaguars.
Okay. I'm on the Dolphins plus 3. Ooh. I'm leaning. I don't think I'm going to go as far as a like. What I do like is I like the over 47.5. Miami has the worst pass defense DVOA in the league. Jaguars have the second worst pass defense DVOA. They played Phillip Rivers in week 1. You know, Phillip Rivers has got crazy numbers and all that stuff, and it's still at this age, I don't think it's terrible getting gashed up by him, but they got gashed up. They got gashed up bad. T.Y. Hilton dropped a couple balls. They don't have the greatest wide receiver corps. And Ryan Tannehill did work on them as well. I mean, Jaguars, yeah, they look frisky. They look pretty good, but like, they ain't stopping anyone, right?
No.
So and they traded Jalen Ramsey. They got rid of A.J. Bouye. Like, that pass defense is bad. And Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like he looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, scrambling, like pumping up the offense, running for first downs. Him and Devontae Parker look good. Now that Devontae Parker's healthy. So I think they're a live dog, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was like, you know, like a 31-27 ATS loss, but the over hits. I like the over more than anything. Did I say under? I meant over. Over 47.5.
Yeah. Yeah, these might be the two like biggest YOLO DGAF quarterbacks in the league right now. And yeah, you're right that the over is definitely the angle there.
I like how they're like from different sides of the world, but they're pretty much spirit animals. You know what I mean? Like one guy, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick just screams like Northeast liberal elite to me. He went to Harvard, right? And Garner Minshew, I think, is from Mississippi, right? And they have crazy facial hair and a very like careless, like carefree vibe, but like different ends of the spectrum on age and, you know, like where they are in their career. I just think it's a funny matchup, and they're going to like feed off of each other, I think. It's going to be a shootout.
I think so, yeah. They're just going to be trying to one-up each other. Just you're going to be seeing some Patrick Mahomes no-look passes, and they're just not going to be anywhere close to a completion. But these two are just going to be out there putting on a show, I feel. And yeah, if you want to see a high-scoring, turnover-filled game, tune into Thursday Night Football, Week 3.
Yeah. There's a chance that these guys are reading the newspapers and hearing everyone complain about this Thursday Night Football game. Like, you know what? F this shit. We're going to give them a show. Let's put on a show. They text each other. Ryan, let's put on a show. Let's rip this pigskin around the field.
Just going to be an absolute circus game. And you know what? Let's see it. And
we have a chance to see beautiful Dolphin jerseys and absolutely hideous Jaguars jerseys. And I'm looking forward to it.
You're not in on the all teal for the first time in franchise history is the marketing tweet I saw today.
I am not in on that. That sounds terrible. You're talking about for the Jags, right? They get the teal?
Yeah.
What's the green for the – it doesn't matter. We're not here working on color schemes. Ooh, almost dropped the F-bomb. That's not good. 1 o'clock window here. First game I see. Las Vegas Raiders going cross-country, coming off of – their home opening win in Allegiant Stadium against New Orleans Saints. They are getting 6.5 points. Playing the New England Patriots. The over-under's 48. I can't make much sense of this. I wasn't as confident in the Raiders this year as I was last year. I love John Gruden, dude. I love John Gruden. I do. I can't front. I think his corny, hokey bullshit, like, I think it works. I would want to play for him, and I never even played football. I don't know. Just carry the water or something. I'll do admin duties, John. Just let me be part of your ship here. But I don't know. Like, I'm big about the Patriots. I'm big about Cam Newton. The Raiders' defense, especially the rush defense, isn't that good. And if Bill Belichick knows that their rush defense isn't that good, like, that's bad. That's bad news. There's only so much John Gruden can do against Bill O'B. Or, excuse me, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I like that Raiders performance on Monday. You know, and I think that's going to do a lot for them and just really boost their confidence as a team, you know, beat a supposedly good New Orleans Saints team. You've already talked about how they're not as good as they were supposed to be. But, you know, that's still going to boost their confidence as, you know, that's a game that everyone had circled on the calendar coming in anyway. The difference is that I do believe Bill Belichick versus Sean Payton will realize that after the 10th catch or so for Darren Waller, you should maybe cover that guy. And that's just watching that game. And, you know, the Saints just never did. Just Darren Waller went off. And
it's funny because
everyone watching could predict every play that, oh, third and three, pass to Darren Waller coming up. Sure enough, complete first down.
Tony, you were turning into a hell of a broadcaster, Eston. You sounded angry and frustrated right there, because you should be, because the Saints' defensive performance was pretty pitiful at spots in that Monday Night Football game. But you beat me. That game put you in a two-game, padded your lead and our little NFL betting tracker thing that we're going head-to-head on by two games. And I lost a whole bunch of money, so I should be even more angry than you. But it's okay. It's okay, Saints. I'll put it past us. Maybe I'll bet you guys later in the season when you work your bullshit out, at least when you get Mike Thomas back. I don't get it with the whole Darren Waller thing. And the other thing that's very frustrating about it is, like, the Saints' secondary is nuts. Like, they're sick. The linebackers are sick. Why couldn't y'all figure it out? Like, why couldn't you figure it out? Like, what happened?
Became pretty clear, certainly by the end of the first half, that the only guy you had to cover was Darren Waller. Sometimes maybe keep an eye on Hunter Renfrow, see what he's doing. But other than that, Darren Waller, cover him. No one else really matters. Don't worry about Nelson Aguilar.
So, officially speaking on this game, and, you know, for all of our sponsors who we love at BetMGM, earmuffs this. This is more of a teaser play. If you can get it in a teaser play, I know BetMGM doesn't do any teasers, but I wouldn't want to bet this at the 6.5 straight up, even though I do like the Patriots. The one thing that does kind of motivate me to take the 6.5, my official stance is a lean but a pass. The only thing that somewhat motivates me is that, like, this 6.5 is begging you to take the Raiders, right? Raiders look good on Monday Night Football at home. They're begging for it, you know, and I'm not falling for it. And I do like the Raiders. So, you know, if they came out and even won outright, it wouldn't be nuts, but I'm not falling for it. You? Official play?
I would have taken the Raiders plus 6.5 if you wanted to take the Patriots, but since you're not, let's move on, see if you have some action on Rams-Bills.
Oh, come on, baby. We're two games into this. We got this. Rams, another cross-country trip for them and just on the slate. Rams getting to going to the Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills. The over-under is 47.5. They are really hitting this key number of 47 hard here. Last one was 48, so it's right around there for most of these games, it appears. Anyways, Rams, this is, oh, man. Let's circle this game and come back because we might have to bet this. I'm leaning towards Rams, but I have it in my notes here as a Buffalo Bills -3, and it's already being steamed the other way, so people are taking the Rams. What you fill in with some of your thoughts, and then I'll circle back.
Yeah, my instant reaction was Rams plus 110 on the money line. They have two wins that look a lot better than Buffalo's two wins, and they're just playing, I guess, a safer, more repeatable brand of winning football.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm going to take them in the head-to-head. The Bills Mafia is not there, so all tables in the Buffalo greater region are relatively safe right now. And yeah, nothing's going to be thrown at Jared Goff or whoever the running back, go-to running back in that one is. Maybe Darrell Henderson. Few injuries, Cam Akers and week one star Malcolm Brown a little banged up. But Darrell Henderson showed that he can handle the load in week two. And yeah, Robert Woods has been great. Tyler Higbee has been great. Cooper Kupp, we know what he can do. His best is yet to come this season, probably. I like this Rams team, and I like them as a dog in this matchup, and kind of anytime I can get them as a dog right now.
Well, you are on the Rams bandwagon. So
yeah,
let's dive into my notes here real quick. I'm leaning towards the Rams myself. There's a lot of this is a crazy travel spot for the Rams, you know, with the whole COVID stuff. They were in Philly last week. And I believe they're going back to LA. Usually the teams will request that the NFL stack schedule the cross country matchups so they can stay cross country. But because of the COVID situation, they can't. So I'm pretty sure they flew to Philly, flying to LA, and then flying back to Buffalo like Saturday morning, which is just gnarly. Right. And that's
an ugly carbon footprint too, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't want to talk about climate change right now. That's not the podcast for this. But that stuff's baked into the number, right? BetMGM knows that. They have that in the line, right? And the Rams and Goff play pretty well in this 1 p.m. East Coast window. Since 2017, McVay's first season, the Rams are 4-0 straight up and against the spread in the 1 p.m. East Coast window. They have an average score of 39-18. Jared Goff has a 10-touchdown-to-1-interception ratio. So that West Coast travel on the East Coast thing doesn't really hit them hard. Josh Allen, you know, you made fun of some of his decision-making in the Dolphins game, but it was one of the cleaner games of his entire career. He went 24-35, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He had a 93.7 QBR. Connected on 3 deep balls with 3 wide receivers and 1 with the tight end. And the deep ball is not, like, he's not good at the deep ball, right? Also, what's funny is Jared Goff actually had a better QBR last week than Josh Allen. It was his best career game ever. And Jared Goff, low-key, actually played better, well, according to QBR, you know, and against the Week 2 Eagles. Real quick, I actually had the Week 2 Eagles, or I had the Eagles in my Week 2 Circa contest picks. Right now, 3-6-1, not looking so good, but I've had rough starts and still finished strong. I'm going to bounce back, don't worry, listeners. But this is kind of a detour anyway. So when every Saturday, you'll get a consensus report of who the contest, a list in order of the most popular picks that are picked in the contest, right? And if you see your team is in the top 5 consensus, your stomach just immediately drops. You know you're screwed, right? I got 2 of my teams, 1 and 2. The Eagles were the most picked team in the contest, and then the Chiefs were the second most picked team. So right when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, I am screwed, right? So that's pretty much what happened. And everyone was on the Eagles, all the sharps, all the podcasts that I listened to. I followed those idiots, followed my own notes, and Rams won outright. Here's what I'll say, though, after all that, right? And I was thinking about this beforehand. You kind of jog something loose. The Rams secondary is pretty good, but they're thin. They only have 4 cornerbacks. And the Buffalo Bills wide receiver corps is deep. It's deep. There's this kid. What's his name? I think it's Ian McKenzie. It's an Ian McKenzie.
McKenzie.
You know Isaiah who I'm talking McKenzie. About? Isaiah yeah. McKenzie. Yeah. Kick and ball. And he's like their 4th wide receiver. That kid Dawson Knox, our tight end's good. You know about Stephon Diggs. He looks great already. Cole Beasley's great in the slot. John Brown's good. So I'll do it. We got to speed along. I'll take minus two. Let's put that in. Me and you. Right? Oh, you want money line? No, let's just do minus two. Let's do minus two. Because I want to track games instead of money. So I don't want to get over on you. Just take the points. But I'm holding the win of the Colts Vikings last week because I put that in the contest and I would have taken the minus three anyways. Moving on to the next game on the card here. Houston Texans going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're getting four. The over-under is 44.5. This is a home run all-in spot for the Houston Texans. Pittsburgh Steelers defense looks pretty good, even though Jeff Driscoll got frisky with them last week. Daniel Jones showed glimpses, but they still get to the quarterback. They still have elite playmakers all over the defense. Big Ben looks pretty good. But Texans need a win. I'm laying off this one. I would lean the plus four, but I'm staying off it. What do you think?
How do you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers this time this week versus this time last week?
I have them to win their division. I feel all right about them. I think
you're as confident in their 2020 outlook today as you were 7 days ago.
Because
they got taken to the wire by Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah, I'm not like selling any Pittsburgh Steelers stock. I understand, and I might bring that up when it comes to the Broncos versus the Buccaneers handicap later. But no, they got out of there with a win. It wasn't pretty, but whatever. You know, that's the NFL nowadays. It's the NFL forever, honestly. You know, it didn't look good, right? They lost against the spread, so they underperformed expectations. You know. Literally, but whatever. Yeah, they won. Do you?
Yeah.
How do you feel about this game?
I really wish I could like the Houston Texans. I love Deshaun Watson. David Johnson looked better in week one than he did last week. The, you know, kind of slapped together, scotch taped together receiving core there that they've assembled to replace DeAndre Hopkins. It hasn't looked good either week. I don't like the Houston Texans. I'm on the Steelers minus four. I think they're better than they showed us last week. I really like them after that Giants win. And I really like Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool did some stuff last week. I do think that Pittsburgh Steelers offense can be good. And I think the defense is good. So, yeah, give me Steelers minus four if you want Houston. Then we got a bet. If not, I understand.
Now, I'm going to pass. If anything, I would like the under there, but I'm not playing that one. Next game, another cross-country trip, this time for the San Francisco 49ers. I get the intel on them. They actually stayed in West Virginia. They're playing their second straight week at MetLife Stadium. Last week, they beat the tar out of the Jets. This week, they are four-point favorites in MetLife against the New York Giants. The over-under is 40.5. Giants are my squad. I'm going to be rooting for them. Can't bet on them because I won't bet against them, so I'm passing. I will tell you a little story, though, just to, like, whatever, just to give you something. First year that I entered the Super Contest, the Giants and the 49ers played in Week 7. I have this hard and fast rule now not to bet the Giants, but I ended up going up to San Francisco because one of my best friends lives up there. So I stayed with him and his wife for a weekend. We, you know, whatever, hung out. And that was the same weekend the Giants and the 49ers played. So I just thought, like, karma, juju, like, whatever. It was pretty much a coin flip game. Like, I'm in town. I love the Giants. I'll bet the Giants. And it was a 1-7, like, Niners team versus, like, a 2-6 Giants team. It was pitiful. They beat the crap out of us with a backup quarterback. And, I kind of like Daniel Jones, but they'll probably beat the crap out of us again with a backup quarterback. Nick Mullins might be better than Daniel Jones. I like him, but I don't know. Whatever. I'm passing. Are you taking action on this one?
No, I gotta wait until Sunday. At least we'll see what Jimmy G's deal is going to be. Yeah, they... I think there's a chance, you know, they probably don't need to force him out there against lousy Giants team.
Yeah, someone needs to tell Shanahan, like, oh, dude, you're playing the Giants, dude. I would just start the kicker. I wouldn't even risk Mullins.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not nearly as worried about the injuries to Raheem Mostert or Tevin Coleman. I think Jerick McKinnon's fine right now. You know, all these teams that lost running backs for considerable amounts of time with the Giants, Saquon out for the year, Christian McCaffrey out 4 to 6 weeks in Carolina. You know, and then the San Francisco 49ers, third stringer Jerick McKinnon's better than what either of those teams had for a backup. The Giants went out today, signed Devontae Freeman, who... No, we've talked about off air and maybe on air before. I don't think he's any good anymore, but
he was sick in 2016.
Yeah, that was a great. But yeah, Jerick McKinnon, I think, is fine for that 49ers team. And I like Nick Mullins. It goes back to that game against the Raiders where he was forced into a last second start and just kind of balled out and crushed the Raiders. So I'm team Nick Mullins. I've been for a while. 4.5's tough, though.
It's four.
It's four now? Okay. Yeah.
Is that move enough for you?
It doesn't really change much for me. let me wait and see. If Jimmy G plays, I'm definitely taking the 49ers. See how much that line moves if that happens, though. Low total, 40.5. I kind of want the over on, I guess, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 49ers are banged up on defense. Giants just aren't good on defense. So I don't hate that. And it is a super low total, but it could be low for a reason. I'm just passing the whole game. Moving on, Titans at the Vikings. I'm happy I got that stupid consensus story right out of the way, so I have to retell it. You can just copy and paste that whole story here. I'm taking the Vikings +2.5. Everyone in the contest, everyone I've heard, is expecting the Titans to run over the Vikings. And I'm going to go with some narrative stuff here. Tennessee beat the Broncos, who I think could be as good with Jeff Driscoll as Drew Locke. Or excuse me, he didn't beat the... Wait, what am I talking about here? They beat the Jaguars, excuse me. And the Jaguars, Gardner Minshew, he's a frisky quarterback, but Jaguars were projected to win the least amount of games. They covered the Jaguars did against Tennessee. So Tennessee, although they're 2-0, they are 0-2 against the spread. They had to eke one out against the Broncos week one. That's where they beat the Broncos. They didn't cover the 2.5, and Derrick Henry is only averaging 3.6 yards per carry. He's typically a slow starter. He gets it going around week 6 or 7. At least he has the past 2 years. So they can't rely on the run game as much. So it's putting a lot of responsibility on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders, who I love, but he's due for a bad game. He's played pretty good football throughout the year since taking the Tennessee job. PFF only has him graded as a 12th best quarterback through 2 weeks. Kirk Cousins is 14th. I mean, it doesn't look great, but he's you know, the Vikings have been real bad. This is more gaming theory than it is anything. I think everyone's on the Titans, and this is a perfect move to zag. Also, Minnie's played a tougher schedule than Tennessee. Green Bay is a good team. They look good. And the Colts were projected to win the division, although it was a terrible loss. We know how tough it is to make it to the playoffs as an 0-3 team, so it's an all-in spot. The line preseason was Vikings -3.5, right? It's now 2.5. It's a 6-point move. I think it's too much. I'll take it. We're getting action. Are we getting action?
Yeah. This is our second bet of the show. Give me Tennessee Titans -2.5, and you kind of went with some game theory narrative stuff. My game theory narrative is, you know, you fool me once, shame on you. So Minnesota, I had you on the money line against a bad Indianapolis Colts team last week. You blew it. Kirk Cousins, you blew it. You're on the blacklist. Give me the Titans straight up. Ryan Tannehill hasn't thrown a ball 20 yards in the air yet this year. A.J. Brown has a chance to come back this week, so that'll change. And I think that probably Derrick Henry gets it going a little bit against the Minnesota Vikings front line without Danielle Hunter. So, yeah, give me the Tennessee Titans. I'm more than happy to give you action on that one.
All right. Oh, no. Here we go. I'm going to get back into this, though. I need to get more bets in so I can reduce your lead, hopefully. Or maybe you just extend your lead. Next game, Washington football team going to the Cleveland Browns. The Washington football team's getting 7. The over-under is 44.5. I capped the last game first. You capped this game first. What do you got?
Yeah, Washington, you know, they look good in week one against Philadelphia Eagles, you know, getting those 8 sacks on Carson Wentz and getting the upset win. Didn't look good last week, not at all, against the Arizona Cardinals, the 30-15 loss. Cleveland, they looked awful in week one, 38-6 loss to the Baltimore Ravens, you know, not that shocking. 35-30 win against Cincinnati Bengals. Well, it was a little bit farther, more lopsided than that. The Bengals scored twice in the last 6 minutes. Garbage time score there at the end, too. So that should have been a 2-score win for the Browns. Want to look at Super Bowl odds, 2 1-1 teams. Washington football team, plus 15,000. The Cleveland Browns, plus 5,000. So that's why your Cleveland Browns are favored by 7 points this week. It seems too much. It's a Cleveland Browns that still hasn't proven anything. Getting a touchdown at home without fans. I want to lean with that Washington D line. And I will take Washington plus 7 if you want the other side of that.
Yeah, okay. This is my best bet of the week. So I'm going to try to be fast with this, right? Because we have so many other games to get to. But I have some notes here. Baker Mayfield has the most pocket time in the NFL at 2.9 seconds from snap to throw. And he's only the 15th most pressured quarterback in the league, despite being the most blitz quarterback in the league by like 9 blitzes. I'm pretty sure the exact number is Baker Mayfield's been blitzed 35 times. And the next closest guy is Daniel Jones at 26, right? He played against the Bengals, who have the highest blitz rate in the league. Pretty good defensive line. Highest blitz rate in the league. And the Ravens, who have the 4th highest blitz rate in the league this year. They were number 1 last year. Ravens are insane. They're always sending people. It's nuts, right? And they're sending people all game against the Browns. But that offensive line held up pretty good. Obviously, I mean, he's got the most time to throw. So the mistakes weren't really caused by pressure in the face, right? So I guess what I'm getting at here is that the Browns are situated and positioned to at least combat or somewhat neutralize what Washington does well. I mean, their defensive line is nuts. I'm not going to say anything bad about them, right? But they do blitz even less than the Browns week one and week two opponents. The offensive line for the Browns, again, highly graded by PFF. Take that for what you will. Their center is 4th out of 33. They have the top-rated guard in the NFL. Conklin and Hubbard are 24th and 21st out of tackles. They've split time at right tackle. The rookie, Jedrick Willis, is only 46th out of 71 in tackles. But they have the number one rated fullback. And Andy Janovich, and they have capable blocking tight ends, and they have extra time to prepare and to figure out how to block this Washington fierce front. You know who actually, you're talking about the Washington football team and how much pressure they get, or at least how good of a job they did getting pressure week one against the Eagles. The Cleveland Browns actually have the highest pressure rate, the most quarterback pressures, and the most quarterback hurries as a defense for 2 weeks. Here's a little pop quiz. Who was the most highly touted pass rusher to come out of the draft before Chase Young?
It'd be Myles Garrett.
Would be, wouldn't it? Be Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Everyone saw the Browns win on national TV, right? So they're getting a boost in price now, and I think people like the Washington football team. This 7 to me, it just screams bet for Washington, right? No one's gonna like the the Browns after getting punched in the mouth in week one. And they, how mad is everyone? You know how mad I am at the Browns? They cost me so much money with that backdoor cover on was it Thursday Night Football? Oh, that was a bummer. That was a bummer. Yep. And bettors are angry with them. And I think it's in the line, right? Everyone's going to want to take Washington. I'll take the Browns. You got your action. We need a ching ching.
Is okay.
Three bets? Three. All right, cool. Yep. All right, going on to the next game. All right, yeah. Bengals at the Eagles. You capped the last one first. I'll cap this one first. Bengals are getting 6 in the Lincoln Financial Center. The over-under is 46.5. I can be brief about this one. I lean Eagles because, again, I think this is just a trap line. I mean, Bengals look feisty. Joe Burrow looks good. Eagles look like shit. -6? What? I'm not falling for a BetMGM. No, no play. I'm not. I'm good.
Yeah, this is a pass for me, largely just because I don't want to have to pay attention to this game at all.
Okay, fair enough.
If I don't have to watch another minute of Philadelphia Eagles football this year, chalk that up as a win. Yeah, and Bengals, you know, want to watch a little bit more of Joe Burrow? Won't be this week.
All right, well, then we can move on quickly. The Bears going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to play your Super Bowl pick, Atlanta Falcons. The Bears are getting 3 in the hook, 3.5 to be specific. The over-under, again, 47.5. We keep seeing that number. Well, it's your Super Bowl pick, and you were more high on the Bears pre-show than I was. Why don't you handicap it first?
Yeah, I can handicap it for you. I'm going to take a page from your book and not bet on this game. My heart wants to purely bet against the Falcons just despite them. And I don't want to do that and be wrong about it, but Atlanta, yeah. Everyone who paid attention to week 2 of the NFL knows the story there. They lost 40-39 to the Dallas Cowboys, despite 3 takeaways, 0 giveaways, and having commanding leads throughout that game. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. And we talked off air before how that special teams coordinator in Atlanta wasn't fired on the football field is beyond me. When, you know, that onside kick comes right at 3-4 guys who just kind of stand around, give it plenty of room, and the Cowboys just walk up, pick it up, and then march down and kick a game-winning field goal. It was gross. The Chicago Bears, yeah, they almost got a taste of their own medicine in their week 2 win over the New York Giants. You know, that being in the form of they almost blew a once commanding lead. But yeah, loss of Saquon Barkley for the Giants, that kind of affects teams both ways, I think. So they maybe kind of got stunned a little bit and sat back with their 17-point lead in that one. I don't know. I think they're a much better team than the Falcons right now. They at least have the much better defense. Now, if the Falcons are able to get out to the lead they did against the Cowboys, yeah, that'll bury the Chicago Bears. The Bears don't have the talent on offense that the Cowboys do. They won't be able to mount that same sort of comeback. But I also don't see the Falcons getting that sort of lead against much better Bears defense. So that's a stay away for me.
I'm big about the Falcons here. On one hand, both of the Atlanta's losses were horrible. But on the other hand, they were against teams that people have as contenders. Most people have the Cowboys and Seahawks as contenders. And as much as this might sting Falcons tried and true fans, and it definitely doesn't help the money line bettors, Atlanta did cover against the Cowboys. I mean, you should be taking points when you can here in the NFL, I think. I mean, I'm not going to tell anyone what to do with their money. They did cover. They ranked 10th in opponents' yards per carry, and, you know, pretty good. And if Chicago can't run the ball to help Trubisky, then it's going to be a long day for that offense. And this defense is healthy. They just have looked terrible in the beginning of the season. So I think they're due for positive progression, whatever the term is. And And it's, you know, the Bears are just a terrible offense. Another thing here, the preseason line was Falcons minus -2. I believe that it's very, very fishy that the odds has gone from Falcons minus -2 to Falcons minus -3.5 when the Bears are a surprising 2-0 team and the Falcons have lost two games. One was embarrassing and the other was like a Hall of Fame reel for Russell Wilson. So it was like a kind of like a bigger loss than it should have been, right? And yet they added 1.5 in favor of the Falcons, the 0-2 Falcons. Again, I'm just going to go with BetMGM on this one. Like, you see something. I don't know. I guess, and I also this is going to be like the goofiest thing probably uttered on this podcast to date. I just closed my eyes and I thought 24-13. Falcons are going to win this game 24-13. That's a cover. So that's what I got. And you don't want any action on that one, right?
No, I don't want to bet this game. Kind of save myself for myself. So yeah,
let's talk about your favorite great teams then. We got the New York Jets getting 10.5 going to the Indianapolis Colts. Over under is 43.5. I want to take the Jets so effing bad, but I won't. I won't. I can't lose money on the Jets twice in 3 weeks. I can't do it. This podcast will be done. You'll have to find another co-host.
Yeah, the only team person I trust less with 10.5 points than I do the Jets is Philip Rivers.
Yeah, this is a real Sophie's choice for you. Gun to your head, who do you take here? Gotta take one.
Oh, gun to the head, it's the Colts.
We're both passing officially, right?
Yeah. Okay. You want to look at, you know, almost any other 0-2 team getting 10.5 points, I'd take it. You know, you look at the coach potentially getting fired after the game with an embarrassing loss, another embarrassing loss, could be the Jets, but I don't see the players fighting to save them anymore. I think they're done with Adam Gase. You know, Le'Veon Bell was done with Adam Gase the day he signed his contract. And yeah, I don't see players on that team fighting for their head coach. And I think him getting fired next Monday is very much in play.
Yeah. I mean, I took the Colts last week. The Colts numbers are pretty good. The Jets numbers are terrible. I Quinnen Williams, I think he was their first pick last year, looked like an absolute tank last week. And if he can create havoc and get into Philip Rivers' face a couple times throughout the afternoon, he can throw a pick six, and all of a sudden you got 17.5, right? So, you know, that's the one thing about it. This is just a terrible line. Like, this is no fun.
No.
But again, spend your money how you want. I'm passing.
Officially. Yeah, you got injuries really piling up in that Colts offense as well. Paris Campbell now done for the season on the IR at least. Marlon Mack dropped the week before. So, yeah, it's... that's way too many points on either side, and a game that, you know, you're probably going to have a total. The one bet I'm going to make for that game is over on the amount of turnovers, whatever they have listed.
Oh man, what a prop! All right, so keep moving along. Panthers are getting a full touchdown, going to the Los Angeles Chargers. Over under 43.5. I had the Chiefs minus -8.5 last week, and I would have ripped up my ticket as soon as I saw Justin Herbert. I knew it. I knew it. I knew we were screwed. Or I knew I was screwed. It was. I hope everything is right with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod, I like him. Oh man, that was bogus. Oh, right when I saw him, I was like, oh, I'm losing. I lost this bet. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Their defense looks good.
This day and age, how does nobody know that's happening until he steps on the It was some sort of injection Tyrod had that caused some sort of...
I guess it was in like the pregame warm-up. That's the only excuse I'll listen to. I mean, these NFL writers focus on the most ridiculous storylines. I mean, just the amount of NFL media there is out there, they cover everything. And no one, And I'm looking. No one had Tyrod Taylor as possibly missing this game. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't possible. Anthony Lynn is still saying, after Justin Herbert's awesome performance, now we're going with Tyrod. So, like, as far as we know, Justin Herbert's not starting this next week. I don't even know what to make. It's hard to make sense out of this line given all the injuries to Carolina as well. Chargers weren't a very explosive team before last week, but who knows? I don't know. I'm not playing. I'm passing.
Well, yeah, and then you got this Panthers team without Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, accounts for 2 points against the spread on his own. And, yeah, Mike Davis is going to be the hot fantasy football waiver pickup this week. We'll see how that works out for everyone. I have bids on him. I don't like that I had to. I don't feel good about getting him if I get him. He caught 8 of 8 targets last week, so maybe he can be a Davis. poor man.
He caught 8 balls.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know what? We're betting the Chargers. It's about the Chargers. We're all in on the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. It's a pass for me.
I'm going to let you cover this one first, then. Lions getting 5.5 going to the Arizona Cardinals. Over-under is 54.5. I was big about the Lions coming into the season. I like them. I had them as a dark horse to win the division. I have them to make the playoffs. Cardinals, I was on the fence about. They look sick. I'm not betting against them. Lions look typical. I'm not betting for them. Just because of the whole backdoor cover stuff with Matthew Stafford, I think there's fair questions around the Cardinals' defense, even though they look good. I'm just going to pass. The backdoor is wide open, but that goes both ways. Like, Kyler Murray could rip an 80-yarder with, you know, a minute left and a 6-point or a 5-point game or whatever, 4-point game to push it over. So I'm staying away. What do you think?
Yeah, my first reaction on this game is the under 54.5. As good as the Cardinals defense looks and as good as, you know, the Detroit Lions offense could be someday, maybe under a different head coach. I like the under on that one. I lean to Cardinals -5.5 at home. You know, Detroit really hasn't shown us anything, at least in the last week and a half. Lost to an apparently really good Green Bay Packers team last week. But, yeah, that one's a little shaky for me. Under 54.5, though.
All right. 4 more games here on the slate. Let's power through. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is the 1 o'clock window. The 4 o'clock window. The first game of the 4 o'clock window was the Jets and Colts. So it looks like we have 5 games in the 1 o'clock window, which is a change from the first 2 weeks. This one, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are road favorites in Mile High against the Denver Broncos. Favorite 6.5, over under 43.5. I like Denver. I was going to say I lean Denver. I like Denver here. Tom Brady doesn't look good. He doesn't look good. And, yeah, they scored 30, but it was more of a fluke 30 with that breakaway Leonard Fournette touchdown against the Panthers last week. You know, like, Vic Fangio is a great defensive coach. They have defensive talent, even though they are a little banged up on the Broncos. And I don't like Drew Lock. I think Jeff Driscoll is an above-average backup quarterback, and I don't think he's much worse or Drew Lock is much better than him. I think he does things that could give the Buccaneers or any team some fits. I probably like the under actually more, but I'll take 6.5 at home. You want the Bucs there?
No, I see that being a 6-7 point game. I think that is a very well set line. I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are as good as everyone thinks they are now. Like you said, that Leonard Fournette touchdown at the end, that, you know, he was supposed to run out the clock. He ran out the game with that put-away touchdown, ran up the score on him. The Denver Broncos defense is keeping them in games. They've lost by 2 points to the Titans, lost by 5 to the Steelers. Yeah, they're going to hang around because of that defense. And like you say, it's Jeff Driscoll stepping in, but he's not stepping in for Patrick Mahomes. He's stepping in for Drew Lock. Really not that big of a difference. So yeah, that one's it's going to be tight to 6. I think I do think the Bucks win. I'm fairly confident the Bucks win, but it's going to be in that 4-7 window, and I don't want to bet you on that one.
All right, your one seed, Dallas Cowboys versus my pick for the one seed and Super Bowl champion Seahawks. The Cowboys are going to Seattle. Don't have to face or don't have to play against the 12 or with the 12 in the stadium, but they're getting 5. The over-unders, 54.5. At the moment, I might end up liking, but I lean Seattle. Here's what I will say, though. Since Dak's rookie season in 2016, the Cowboys are 8-6 against the spread as road dogs. And the Seahawks are 7-11 against the spread as home favorites when laying 4.5 more points in that same time span. Not having the 12th man there, I think does matter a little bit. Their defense looked a little porous last week. And Cowboys offense came alive against the Falcons. I don't know how serious to take that. You know, and the over is just incredibly high, but because the over is high, you know, I'll side with BetMGM on the whole points thing, and I lean to the Seahawks doing enough to win the game, but don't like it.
Yeah, I'm on the over. I think the Patriots proved last week that, well, even the Falcons did to an extent in week one, that you can score on this Seattle Seahawks defense. The Cowboys certainly have the offensive talent to keep pace with Seattle. I like the over. And yeah, I got burnt on the Patriots last week. Seattle covered by a point in their 35-30 win. I'm too scared of the same sort of thing happening this week and being burnt by a point or two. I'll pass on this one, but I do like that over.
Moving over to Sunday Night Football, Packers are getting 3.5 as they travel to New Orleans to play the Saints. They're favorite 3.5, but it's even money if you want the 3.5. So, you know, it's probably going to be moved to 3 when you guys hear this podcast. Over-under is 41.5. Everyone in the contest is going to be on the Green Bay Packers. I think rightfully so. I lean to the Green Bay Packers, but as almost like a contest play, and the fact that it's, I don't know, it's one of those fishy lines. I lean Packers, but at this point, I'm going to stay away. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, same with you. I lean to the Packers. I'm going to wait and see. I feel like that line shifts toward the Saints, and then I probably get.
You think it's going to go to 4 or 3? What did you mean?
Sorry, yeah, I think it goes to 3, and then we get -110 on both sides, probably.
Yeah.
I probably just wait, lose the half point on Green Bay for better odds, and then take the Packers then.
Okay. Not money line? You're going to get 3?
Yeah, sure. I'll take Packers money line.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from this one. I did hear a podcast, interesting note. I forget which podcast or where I heard it. Maybe it was a radio show, but some guy made a point where he was reading about Aaron Rodgers' offseason. And apparently Aaron Rodgers was super bored because of COVID, and he was watching game film, and he realized that his mechanics, like, slipped over recent years. So, like, he paid, like, extra attention to the detail of his mechanics, and that's part of the reason why he looks a little bit better this year than previous years. You know, he's somehow a dark horse for an MVP season through. It's only 2 weeks, but he looks great. And if Derek Carr can move the ball like he could, you know, Aaron Rodgers probably could. But not in love with the price, and I'm not going to play it. Anything else, or can we go to Monday Night Football?
Let's get to Monday Night Football.
Yep, marquee game of the year. know,
this is the game of the year. It's week three. It's the game of the year. There's no real argument against that.
Chiefs getting 3.5 as they go to the M&T Bank Stadium to play the Baltimore Ravens, over under 53.5. There's, you know, I lean to the Ravens. I do. They look like they're more dialed in right now. I took a glass half full approach to the Chiefs' week one win over the Texans because they put up 30 points and they got the ball around the field to different players, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked good, but they weren't as explosive as I thought they were going to be, at least in week one. I think they're coming along, right? They're kind of developing a little bit, and their slow start to the season. The Chargers' defense showed up to play last week, but again, just, you know, when they had to be explosive, they were, and they you know, they got past the Chargers. But the Ravens look like they want to prove that they're a Super Bowl contender right now, and the game doesn't mean as much to the Chiefs. So, you know, but it's like 3.5 against Pat Mahomes. That doesn't feel great. But I do lean the Ravens. How do you feel?
Yeah, that Chiefs game last week, you know, I'm not going to really fault the defense for giving up 20 points to Justin Herbert in his first start. You know, when your entire week one game plan gets thrown, or your 10-day long game plan gets thrown out, you know, immediately before kickoff when everyone finds out that Justin Herbert's starting, yeah, there's not much you can do. You're going to give up 20 points. But like you, I'm a little disappointed in that offense. Only putting up 23 points against, you know, a ho-hum Chargers defense. And yeah, the Baltimore Ravens, 2 weeks in a row, have just absolutely lit people up and are just doing it with zero remorse. And there's just so many ways that they can beat you and beat anyone. And they're perfectly happy to do it whatever way necessary. They're not going to force any one style of play.
Yeah. That kid Patrick Queen, their LSU linebacker they drafted, is a problem. They have the personnel and the coaching to, like, keep their blitz heavy scheme and just do man-on-man coverage. They have, like, an elite secondary. I think they pose a matchup problem for everyone, obviously, but specifically against the Chiefs, I side with BetMGM. It's just, like, a crazy thought. Chiefs plus 3.5. No, I'm going to bet against them. But so I'm going to lean to the Ravens. But that wraps it up for the week three slate. Let's go to the window real quick.
All right.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Not a long one. We got a little marathon for you guys. A whole bunch of week three takes. Hopefully we gave you some stuff to think about. What are you going to the window with? So actually, can we start off with our locked in bets? What did we do?
Yeah, I'll just recap these. I have Los Angeles Rams +2 -110. They are playing whichever Bills. Loser team you picked, the Bills. I'm also on the Tennessee Titans -2.5 -110. They are playing the Minnesota Vikings.
That's can't lose.
And I am on the Washington football team +7 -110 as well. They're playing the Cleveland Browns.
All right, cool. So that's what our action is on head-to-head for week three. Right now, Essen's got a 5-3 lead in our head-to-head matchup. What are you going to the window with?
Talk quickly about the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. That is this week's real lame PGA Tour event.
DR?
Yes, that is in the Dominican Republic. Nice. It's on the heels of the U.S. Open. That's why there's absolutely nobody in attendance this week. I'm on Mackenzie Hughes. He opened as the co-second favorite. He's now a solo favorite at +1600. This guy was in incredible form through the FedEx Cup playoffs, coming off a missed cut at the U.S. Open. If he plays anything like he did in any of those FedEx Cup events, he is going to absolutely demolish this field, and he's a good bet as a favorite. A rare time, that's true.
All right. What are some NFL picks or whatever other things you got going to the window?
What other picks did I like this week? There are a couple over-unders I liked. I like that over in Seattle-Dallas. Going to go ahead and lock that one in.
Okay, cool. I like, I'm going to go over Miami Dolphins and Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe that's 47.5 Thursday Night Football. I'm taking the Browns as my best bet, -7 I'm taking the Vikings +2.5 and I'm taking the Falcons -3.5 Unfortunately, I got no NBA plays for you. MLB has too fast of a turnaround time. We'll talk about them, I think, next week in Scope and Futures. I really like someone on a Futures play, but can't give that out now because there's no line listed on BetMGM for a World Series winner at the moment. Do you have any other picks to give away?
No, that's good for me. Go lightly on golf this week. You know, yeah, Mackenzie Hughes, only bet you need to make. And yeah, looking forward. Next week's episode is going to queue up well with the start of the MLB playoffs, and we can get our World Series wagers in. I have a San Diego Padres World Series futures ticket I'm holding on to, as well as a Toronto Blue Jays World Series future ticket I'm holding on to. Feel a whole lot better about the Padres ticket.
Yep, and we'll, I don't know, recap the conference finals, the NBA, and or preview the finals. I don't know specifically what the schedule is. We'll also bring you up to speed with the Stanley Cup finals as well. Obviously, we'll be talking week 4 NFL gambling, but for Eston, this is Jeff. Best of luck with all your sports bets. Go get them this week, all right, guys? Hey, it's your friend Jeff Clark saying good luck. Peace out.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.